friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's a big weekend in African football as teams across the continent continue their quest for Cameroon 2019. These Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers will end in late March 2019, and then we'll know the full field of 24 teams, the biggest field in Nations Cup history that will feature in Cameroon. In one of the Nations Cup qualifiers on Saturday, the Cranes of Uganda will host the Crocodiles of Lesotho. Reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinj has this preview for us from Uganda's capital, Kampala.
Uganda Cranes engage in their last preparations at Nelson Mandela National Stadium, venue for tomorrow's clash against Lesotho's Crocodiles. Uganda Cranes coach Sebastian Desabri, whose team drew 0-0 against Tanzania Taifa Stars last month, says he's confident his team will win tomorrow's game.
We have worked very well. It's a good spirit. We have spoken a lot of time with the players to secure those players understand the importance of these two next games. I'm happy with this camp. We know the responsibilities we have during these two games, and I think we are ready, and we put offensive disposition tomorrow to score in first during this game.
After three games, Uganda leads Group L with 4 points. Tanzania and Lesotho have 2 points, while Cape Verde has only 1 point. Dennis Onyango, Uganda's captain and goalkeeper, says besides aiming at keeping a clean sheet, his team must score many goals. But he says they won't underestimate their opponents.
Someone might say we're playing probably a small team, but in football there's no small teams anymore. You work for every result. So for us, we know we have a game to play, a very strong team. The boys know that at the back of their mind, and they'll give their best on Saturday. Of course, we want to go to Maseru with positive results.
Sports writer and analyst Aisha Nakato says many Ugandans expect their team to win tomorrow's game.
What I know at the back of their minds, at the back of every Ugandan's mind, this game tomorrow is a must win in order to reduce all the pressure on them in the future. You don't want to go to Tanzania in March next year when you haven't qualified yet, so they need to finish this off. This game is important, yes, not only to the country, but especially to the coach. He is yet to get a win as a new coach, so this game as well is very important for him to let Ugandans know that he is the right man for the job.
Captain Onyango says players are well aware of the expectations from home fans.
Of course, there's always pressure when you play at home, because we've set up a record at home that we normally win, and everyone expects a win, but we know that at the back of our mind that we must give our best at home. And it applies everywhere. When you're in your own home, you must give your best and you must have positive results. And it comes with a lot of pressure, but all we need to do is to win the game and the pressure will calm down.
Uganda Cranes have not lost a game at home since 2014, when they lost to Togo, captained by former Arsenal star Emmanuel Adebayo. Any team in this group can qualify if they win their remaining games. For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I really enjoyed your report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Nations Cup qualifying action Thursday, the Red Devils of Congo Brazzaville were victorious at home, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Congo picked up their first win with an impressive 3-1 win over Liberia in a Group G fixture on Thursday. The victory is Congo's first in the qualifying series and sees them up to third place with 4 points, level with Zimbabwe and the Democratic Republic of Congo, who play on Saturday, but with an inferior goal difference. Liberia are last in the group with 1 point from 3 games. In Group F, Ethiopia and Kenya settled for a barren draw on Wednesday at the parked Bahida National Stadium. The draw gave Kenya the edge going in the reverse in Nairobi in 3 days. The Harambee Stars lead Group F with 4 points, same as Ethiopia. Elsewhere in Group K, Chipolopolo of Zambia broke their 2019 AFCON qualifier drought on Wednesday at home with a convincing 2-1 home win over Guinea-Bissau at the National Hero Stadium in Lusaka to collect their first Group K win. The victory saw Zambia join Guinea-Bissau on 4 points after 3 games, where Mozambique are also on the same number of points ahead of Saturday's March the 3 home date against bottom-placed Namibia in Maputo. Staying with the African Cup of Nations qualifying games following the FIFA decision to suspend the Sierra Leone Football Federation, CAF has confirmed the cancellation of both matches between Ghana and Sierra Leone billed for the 11th of October in Kumasi, Ghana, and the 14th of October in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone team will not be allowed to participate in the qualification of the Total African Cup of Nations 2019 unless the confirmation that the conditions stipulated in the Bureau of FIFA Council's letter has been fulfilled. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Among those on hand in Brazzaville Thursday for Congo's 3-1 victory over Liberia was Liberian President George Weah, the 1995 World African and European Player of the Year. Also attracting attention in Brazzaville was Liberia defender Kemo Camara, who wore gloves despite the 31 degrees Celsius temperature. Now let's go to Asaba, the capital of Delta State, Nigeria. That's where officials are using sports and education to help keep young people away from crime and vandalism. Now, in terms of crime, Delta State used to rank number one in Nigeria in crimes like pipeline vandalism, sea piracy, and kidnapping because of the presence of many oil companies. To find out more about how sports are being used to curb crime, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye caught up with Delta State's Commissioner for Information, Pat Uka.
First and foremost is that sports is just one of the tools we have engaged as a government to bring about the youth restiveness. On inception, the government believes that sports and education works hand in hand. And the first it did was to direct that the Minister of Basic and Secondary Education should immediately get back the school sports. And that school sports, definitely you agree with me that education is not just about academics. A child who cannot perform any kind of skill means that he's deficient in some aspect of the academic progress. And we find that we need a policy that will return us to what we all experienced in the past by going back to the school sports. So the first directive was that we should start up the Principal's Cup, which we have done now and going to the fourth year since we came. And that secondary school sports, football taking the pilotal role, we have successfully done it. We have seen the magic he has done in our secondary schools. And just immediately after, His Excellency directed again that we go back to the Headmaster's Cup. And we also started the Headmaster's Cup for the primary schools. The Secondary School Sports Festival, which comprises other sports, also had also come back. So you find out that things like hockey, cricket, not just the football, sprints and what have you now, the children are beginning to show their interest and progress in those areas.
Can we say that the investments of the Delta State government in sports has paid off and led to this peace this part of Nigeria is enjoying now?
Before I answer that question, I need to let you understand that we also came up with a policy that inter-house sports is now compulsory in all primary and secondary schools. In fact, now a directive, an executive directive, is also that any school that is applying for registration without a playing field that can at least give them the opportunity to showcase their talents will not be approved. So these directives are also a grassroots policy that we have put in place. The basic and secondary education are also working in tandem with the sports commission, who are the ones that will take us to participate in other competitions. And I'm happy to tell you, in terms of paying off, in terms of that investment, is that for 3 editions running now, Delta has come tops in the national youth games. and with a huge gap of medal hall, so which means that it's paying off. But when you look at it, we also believe so much in terms of facilities available for the people. So in each of the local government, we have stadiums, and these stadiums are also made available. When you come out from your grassroots area and you begin to get to the elite angle, you can also come to participate in such places. But we have also graduated it by having two Olympic-sized stadiums in Asaban Wari. Any moment from now, the one in Wari will also be renovated. But you know, we have a solid stadium in Asaba that has hosted the African Games. And very soon, in the next few weeks, we'll be hosting the Challenge Cup Finals in Asaba. And that is to tell the world that we're ready. There's peace here, not only the peace that is there, there's a great opportunity to invest also in sport.
What has been the fate of some of the talents discovered?
If you look at the Nigerian contingent to the African Athletics Championship, you find out that I think over half of them are from Delta. And that is an evidence that the program is graduated and they begin to yield dividends. The secondary school sports and the primary school sports had graduated athletes that had completely, taken over what the youth games means in Nigeria. What it then means is that in the next few years, Delta will be able to have produced athletes that can now lead not only nationally, in the continent and the world. Because somebody like Blessing Okegbare is a good model and ambassador who has done it. He started right from here, schooled in Delta. And some of the sprinters again that are running today also schooled in Delta, and they are all running for Nigeria. Most of the records belong to them. So the old Delta that people need to know, which is an offshoot of the old Bendel, is still very ready and remains the basket of sports in Nigeria.
That's Pat Uka, the Commissioner for Information in Delta State, Nigeria. And Pat spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Asaba, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, will have news about Ghana's World Boxing Organization Super Bantamweight Champion. Ghana's World Boxing Organization Super Bantamweight Champion Isaac Royal Storm Dogbe has signed a new contract with 86-year-old Bob Arum and his top-ranked promotion company. So says our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta.
Oh, Sonny, we're very, very happy for the Royal Storm, Isaac Dogbe, because this long-term deal, promotional agreement with Top Rank, is a co-promotion deal with his own promotion company, Rising Star of Africa Promotion. The first fight under this deal will be December 8th at the Madison Square Garden. This deal will give him the chance to go after multiple divisions, multiple champions. And also part of this deal, ESPN will do a fight live from Accra, Ghana, son. You can't beat that, man. But Bukom Arena, you've seen videos and photos from Bukom Arena. Bukom Arena looks like you are at the Garden in Las Vegas or in Staples Center. The fighters into it, the fans into it. So look forward to ESPN as part of this deal, doing a fight live from Accra, Ghana. You're talking about eyeballs around the globe. The Royal Storm would deliver a knockout.
And the Royal Storm delivering often in 2018, Nnamdi. He's staying very active this year, isn't he?
He's staying very active. And when we talk about Fighter of the Year, we must mention him because if he closes the year, he opened the year with a knockout in Accra, Ghana, and then came down to Philadelphia, did this thing with Jesse Maldonado, and then Otake, the Japanese, and now you want to close the show at Madison Square Garden, and this fight is going to be live on ESPN.
Another Ghanaian fighter, Richard Comey. What's the latest with him, Nnamdi?
If you remember, Mickey Garcia, right from right here in Southern California, the IBF world champion, he did not really want to fight Richard Comey. And Comey was the number one contender in the IBF. Well, the IBF said you must go for a post bid. The highest bidder will take the fight. And Mickey Garcia was just talking about fighting Errol Spence. He does not want to fight Richard Comey. Well, a week ago, they finally made a deal. He's agreed to fight Richard Comey. There's no date, no sites, but the deal is made that it will be done. Remember, Sonny, I was ringside when Mickey Garcia fought Robert Easter. And I said it, and I'm going to say it to you on the show again. Richard Comey will not only beat Mickey Garcia, he will knock out Mickey Garcia. Take it to the bank, Sonny.
All right. Take it to the bank.
Take it to the bank, bro. I was there. I was watching him. I was studying the fight. And right in my mind, I said, homeboy from Africa can do way better than Robert Easter, because Robert Easter didn't have nothing in that fight. He allowed Mickey Garcia to bully him all over the ring, and Mickey Garcia looked great. And I said to myself, Richard Comey will back Garcia up, still right there with him, drop the big right hands, and Mickey Garcia will be knocked out in front of his people right here in Los Angeles. And from what I'm hearing, that fight can end up on the December 1 super fight with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And you know what? LA will show up.
Well, Namdi, I know you're also very high on Efe Ajagba, the Nigerian heavyweight. How about an update with Big Efe?
Ah, Sonny. Homeboy keeps delivering that knockout for the heavyweight, Sonny. Right here in my backyard against Nick Jones. A crushing right hand, one-round knockout. Efe Ajagba from Nigeria, 7-0 with 6 big knockouts. A force to be reckoned with. I hope they put him on the card at this big fight, December 1, right here in Los Angeles, because millions of fans will see him on that pay-per-view opening the show for Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder. Efe Ajagba, 6'5", 24. You can't beat it. We have a puncher from the Nigeria in the heavyweight division that brings power to that division.
Finally, Namdi, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports belated birthday shout-out for Sharif the Lion Bogere from Uganda. He celebrated his 30th birthday earlier this week. I know he's with Mayweather Promotions now, Namdi. What's next for Sharif?
It's always good to be signed with Money Mayweather. He has all the money in the bank. But if you have a boxing stable and your fighters are grumbling that they don't stay that active and you're busy doing your thing, talking about the fight with Manny Pacquiao, you don't pay attention to your fighters, the fighters will finally walk away. I was really expecting Sharif now to be challenging for the world title, considering the fact that all the big money is behind him with Floyd Mayweather. But Floyd Mayweather is busy trying to make the big money with Manny Pacquiao. So his stable is grumbling. People are not happy. Hopefully, he can throw something to Sharif Bogere's way so Sharif Bogere can fight for the world title, because at this age, he does not have that much time left.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi in the days to come. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, my VOA colleague Gwen Uden will have an update on the Shanghai Masters tennis tournament in China. Joining us now with a report on the Shanghai Masters tennis tournament in China is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. We're down to the final four at the Shanghai Masters and ready for Saturday's semifinal round. Switzerland's Roger Federer easily advanced to the semis after defeating Japan's Kei Nishikori in straight sets. Federer will next play Borna Coric of Croatia in Saturday's opening match, followed by Serbian Novak Djokovic against Alexander Zverev of Germany. With his quarterfinal win against Britain's Kyle Edmund, Zverev has reached the semifinals of this tournament for the first time and leads the pack for most match wins with his 49th of the year. Zverev shared his reaction after the match.
You know, a great honor because, you know, we have so many great players playing throughout the whole year, and obviously me winning the most matches means a lot to me. Means a lot because, you know, I've kind of played only the biggest tournaments. I played 1-250 this year, so, you know, I've won matches in big events, so this means a lot. And obviously I don't want to stop here. There's still a lot more tennis going on till the end of the year.
And his run won't stop in Shanghai. The fourth seed has secured a spot in next month's ATP Finals in London, the fifth player to qualify for the season-ending tournament. He joins Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer, Juan Martín Del Potro, and upcoming opponent Novak Djokovic. Djoko reached the semis after his straight-set win over South Africa's Kevin Anderson in a repeat matchup of this year's Wimbledon final. Djoko claimed that title, and after Thursday's match, he said his game keeps on improving.
Starting basically from Queens to this point, to this day, is where I feel like I'm playing my best, and you can see the results are showing exactly that. In terms of percentage, whether I'm playing this week better than I have in Wimbledon or US Open, I don't think so too much.
As I mentioned, Djokovic qualifies for this month's ATP Finals in London. And because of the tournament's success there, London is scheduled to host the event through 2020. However, Djokovic has said he hopes the event will be played in a different city in 2021. Djoko says although tennis is wildly popular in England, moving the tour around to different cities would be good for the sport. Djoko was elected president of the ATP Players Council in 2016 and has long been a proponent of the evolution of tennis, something he spoke about on Thursday.
We always have our hands full, and I'm really I'm honored to be there. I feel responsible also as a top player to contribute. So if I can do it in any way, I'll give my best. I've been now 6+ years in the council. I feel like that is the most effective way, so to say, to make a difference.
It's been reported the ATP intends to stage their own World Team Cup in January of 2020, which would fall less than 2 months after the Davis Cup final scheduled for November 2019. Djokovic said he would prioritize the ATP event over the Davis Cup, which should make at least two players very happy. On Thursday, Roger Federer told reporters he's not sure he will take part in next year's Davis Cup competition, saying the revamped tournament is, quote, not designed for him. Alexander Zverev also said he will not play in the Davis Cup finals in 2019, because he needs time off, and he called the scheduling crazy. The new format involves a qualifying round that would bump up against the ATP World Team Cup, and Federer says the date of the Davis Cup is really bad, especially for top players. He believes there needs to be a larger discussion for players to understand how to approach the two competitions. Federer stressed that the best thing for the sport and the athletes involved is to have one big World Cup of sorts instead of two competitions. Novak Djokovic echoed that opinion, saying he too hopes one major event will eventually be created. And that's all for today and for the week. More sporty news to come. Have a good weekend, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And here's a quick update on the Major League Baseball playoffs here in the USA. The best-of-seven-game National League Championship Series begins later Friday night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where the Milwaukee Brewers will host the Los Angeles Dodgers. The best-of-seven-game American League Championship Series begins Saturday night in Boston, Massachusetts. The Boston Red Sox are at home against the defending World Series champion, Houston Astros. The winners in the American League and National League will advance to the World Series. And that wraps up the October 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Nice job, Kwame. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer Nick Ivanoff, the man behind the boards, Nick. Quick, Nick. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we'll have a special discussion on women's well-being around the world. Our guest is Christina Kessler, author of the book Tales of an Inkut Swamir. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll talk about Africa's land ownership and the challenge of land reform. We'll examine Africa's land redistribution and the fundamental issue of land inequality. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Democrats are energized to vote in the upcoming midterm elections, hoping to defeat or diminish the Republican congressional majority. We talk with Democratic strategist Will Marshall, president of the Progressive Policy Institute, about the obstacles and incentives for Democrats in November. That's Press Conference USA, Saturday and Sunday, on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa. Join me every weekday mornings at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports.
My name is Edward Ameyibo. I listen to Daybreak Africa to be abreast with developments on the continent. I encourage you to do the same.
You can also be a part of the show through our listeners' mail segment. Just send your views to daybreakafrica@voanews.com or call us on 202-205-9942. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two Face,
NATO C. Hey. Tune in at 200
300, 1200 and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
This is